Good morning. Welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. It's a weekly program about mental and physical health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle in general. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney. Today in the program, we speak with Karen Kraus, New York Times sports writer and author of a book called Norwich, One Tiny Vermont Town's Secret to Happiness and Excellence. It's a town with parallels to Park City in that Olympic athletes spring forth from the tiny town of 3,000. But how the community backs all children becomes the crux of the story.
And then we're joined by Shauna Wiest, the director of Connect Summit County, who looks forward to some upcoming heavy-hitting events surrounding mental health, and starting with the visits next week to the community of ESPN journalist and book author Kate Fagan and renowned yoga practitioner Catherine Budig.
And then finally, we're joined by Renee Ridge, executive director of Eats Park City. That stands for Eat Awesome Things at School. And Devry Carrs, the program director, to talk about some upcoming spring and summer camps.
This is The Mountain Life. Stay with us. We'll be back after these words from our underwriters.
G'day. This is Ashley from Campus Coffee, happy to sponsor programming on KPCW. We can't wait to serve the Park City locals this winter. We're excited by our breakfast and lunch menu to complement our espresso drinks. Campos Coffee is open daily at the base of Park City Mountain Resort, up the stairs from the ice rink next to the Adirondack chairs. CamposCoffee.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Manning, the Director of Golf at Park Meadows Country Club, proud supporters of KPCW. Our new clubhouse features a year-round golf simulator for practice and lessons. Members are keeping up the sport this winter to prepare for our golf games and tournaments this summer. More info at parkmeadowscc.com.
Matt here from San Francisco Design. Since the start of our business in 1990, we have been supporting KPCW. We offer home decor for Park City and Salt Lake and feature modern furnishings from around the world. Whether you're looking to furnish an entire home or just redecorating a single room, we can help with our in-house design team. Located on Bonanza Drive and on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Whitney Wall here from Park City Mountain and KPCW sponsor. Park City Mountain's Epic Promise recently committed to a net zero footprint by 2030. The environment is our business. By 2030, we commit to zero net emissions, zero waste to the landfill, and a zero net operating impact to forests and habitat. More information at epicpromise.com.
Valley Behavioral Health is a local nonprofit and proud supporter of KPCW. We are your community behavioral health center and provide a broad range of services, including individual, family, couples, and group therapy for mental health and substance abuse. We serve all ages in all of Summit County. Please check out our website at valleycares.com or 649-8347 for more information.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. And now, I believe we have on the line Karen Kraus. Good morning to you, Karen.
Lynn, I am so sorry that this has been such so much trouble to get connected, but I'm happy to be talking with you.
Well,
small towns trying to connect.
You know, yes. It's sort of shades of Vermont, where the moment you enter the state, you're in a cell phone dead zone, but I have that. I don't have that excuse. I'm in California, so
right. Okay. Well, the important thing is that we have you here, and so you know, the interesting thing that I found about your book Norwich, it was sort of the dawning realization that you had about, you know, you went to write this book about all these Olympic athletes that come out of this tiny town, and why is that? And then it kind of evolves into this parenting book. And I think it's so important, and it has everything to do with some topics that we talk long and hard about in this town, which is early specialization, maybe parenting. I was going to say over-parenting, but it's the parenting that focuses more on winning than the process of participation.
Right. Yes, it's you said it perfectly. I went there thinking I was writing about how this town has become an unlikely Olympic pipeline and discovered that I was really writing a parenting manual masquerading as a sports book. And I think if there's any lesson at all to be taken from the Norwich story, it's that we have to shift our focus on sports we have, over the last two decades or so, become so hyper-focused on the end game, the college scholarship, the pro career, the Olympic berth. And in Norwich, they almost became Olympians by accident, because the focus for them is very much on relationship building, not championship building. They see sports as just one piece of the bigger puzzle in helping their children negotiate, you know, childhood and become healthy, well-adjusted adults. And so they really approach sports as I did as a child, and I think that's why I really connected with this town in the way I did, that it's all about life lessons and building lasting friendships. I mean, I swam from the ages of 9 to 21, and when I look at what I got out of swimming, it's all the intrinsic benefits. I don't remember any of the trophies or titles or times that I did. What I remember is just the discipline and persistence and perseverance and delayed gratification and being coachable and developing teamwork and all of these qualities that have helped me every day of my professional life and my world outside of swimming. And here I am in my 50s, and the circle of friends I have to this day are largely people that I met in swimming between the ages of 9 and 21. And so I think I looked at the arc of my own sports career and really found it reflected in these more successful athletes in Norwich.
So, Karen, you said that you're in your 50s, and that's good. Mm-hmm. We're all in our 50s here, so we can all talk about the past.
50 is the new 30.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, right. we can sort of compare notes from our upbringing and what things were like. And I guess my question is, you know, the two different sides to the same coin. One side would be, how has Norwich been able to maintain and hold on to those attributes that we all experienced through sport and gained and that model, versus what you just said happened in the last 20 years, which is we've sort of become focused on, you know, the achievement versus the process and the outcome,
right,
instead of, you know, these other benefits to becoming a well-rounded human being?
Well, it was interesting going to the Winter Olympics, and I'm going to digress here for a moment, but trust me, it all is connected. I went to the Pyeongchang Olympics, and of course, the nation that emerged as the dominant force of those games was Norway, this tiny country with a population not much more than metropolitan Detroit. 59 medals. How did this country do it? Well, Norway is the Norwich of countries. They, the emphasis when there are kids in winter sports, especially our young, is on just developing enjoyment for the activity. So they do not publicize results of kids 10, 11, 12, not until they're in their teenage years do they make a big deal about the results. And that's how it is in Norwich, where they actually have no-cut recreational leagues. So the emphasis is very much on participation. And someone, it's funny because someone asked me, well, is this the kind of town where everybody gets a participation ribbon? And the way the question was worded made it sound as if that is a very unsavory thought. And I said, no, in fact, this is the kind of town where they wouldn't even give out participation ribbons, because it isn't even about any kind of, you know, pot at the end of the rainbow. It's just about enjoying the activity for what it is, getting you outside, connecting with nature, connecting with peers, developing these friendships and some kind of mastery in the sport along the way that builds self-confidence. And so I think that's where we have to start with Norwich. Now, obviously, it is one of the more affluent towns in Vermont, but in that respect, it has a built-in advantage, I suppose, because the kids are not necessarily worried about having to get a college scholarship in sports if they want to, want to continue their education. But we've certainly seen in affluent cities elsewhere in the United States where the wealth almost becomes another isolating mechanism that I grew up in Santa Clara, a town not too far from where I grew up. Palo Alto has recently dealt with a spate of teen suicides and is dealing with anxiety and depression among teenagers. It's teenagers. And I was talking to social scientists while I was writing this book, and they said that actually in wealthy communities, the problem is the wealth has an isolating effect, that all of a sudden you are living behind gated communities. You maybe can parcel out the activities like shopping and dog walking and things that would bring you into connection daily with your neighbors. You have the ability to send your children to private coaches so they're not necessarily dealing with their neighborhood kids day in and day out. And all of this creates a lack of a social safety net. So when the kids fall or fail, the community is not necessarily there to pick them up. In Norwich, this is not the case. The children are very much a part of the fabric of the community. They are it's made clear to them from a very young age that everyone is there. Their parents aren't the only ones who care about them. Everyone cares about them. The success and well-being of one kid is everyone's concern. And that sense of community, that communitarian spirit, is really something I think can be replicated elsewhere and is the most important thread to the Norwich story.
Boy, these are themes, as Lynn just pointed out in her introduction, that resonate loudly and clearly here in Park City. We have a lot of the issues that you just mentioned that we share those with Palo Alto. We also have elements and components of Norwich here, and we're trying to grapple with kind of the friction between those two currently. Just a quick story that illustrates this. My girlfriend has a 9-year-old who played soccer. It's participation soccer. Everybody had a great time all season long until the championship game, where there was a table with trophies on it. And each team's children were so mesmerized by the trophies that they could hardly play soccer. It was unbelievable to observe how they had played and been part of this process and played for pure enjoyment until that moment when those trophies appeared. It is so subtle, and it happens so early. How do we...
And there you are, 9 years old. Yeah, and that reminds me of a story that did not make it into my book, only because someone told me it after the book was published, which I was so upset that I hadn't known this earlier. Every Thanksgiving, the town of Norwich has a turkey trot run. So not only do they not give out, ribbons to the first finishers, they do not even delineate a start or finish line. So it's in the ways that you said these trophies for these 9-year-olds are conditioning them at an early age, however subtly, to concentrate on the end result. In Norwich, they are very conversely conditioned at a young age that it doesn't even matter where the exact start or finish line is, because we're all in this just doing this for fun. And I just love that, you have no finish line, so no one really knows exactly who is finishing where. But that's not the point of the activity. So, I just think no parent sets out to make their child hate an activity that starts out as fun. But I think however well-intentioned we all are at the beginning, we have these forces at work. I call it the professionalized youth sports complex that can really wring the joy out of sports for kids. And it just requires a bit of a shift of focus, that instead of focusing on the end result and not just the outcome of that game at on that day, but I mean, we have parents who at the age of five are already mapping out their children's collegiate careers. And the stark reality is that less than 2% of kids who participate in high school sports will go on to play in college or compete in college, much less earn a college scholarship. So I think we just need to be more realistic about the benefits of sports. They're not just extrinsic. Most of them are intrinsic. And as children get older, that those intrinsic benefits are really what they'll remember and hold dear and will help them moving forward. So I think we all have the ability to be like Norwich, but it requires the grown-up, first and foremost, to shift their focus on how they view success and sports in general.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Karen Krause. She is a New York Times sports reporter and now a book author. Her book is called Norwich, One Tiny Vermont Town's Secret to Happiness and Excellence. Well, Karen, you write about a lot of the athletes that also live part-time in Park City. There's Hannah Carney. She came from Norwich. There's Brooke Lee.
Jim Holland.
Holland, right, who lives here full-time, I believe. And, you know, and yet I'm dying to ask you, and we don't have a lot of time yet or left, so I wanted to ask you about Kevin Pierce. Now, we all remember him as the snowboarder who, in the end of 2009, I think right before the Olympic trials for 2010, he had this horrific accident in the superpipe here in Park City, and it was a career-ending brain injury. And I have not heard a lot about how he's doing, but this is also part of your book about how he went back to Norwich and had incredible community support. So talk about that.
Right. I'm so glad you brought up Kevin, because I was even thinking about him during these Olympics that were just held, because, of course, the person who he was expected to compete with for the gold medal at the Vancouver Olympics, Sean White, was back, is still competing, and won the gold in South Korea. But to anyone who has a very narrow prism of sports and success, Kevin would be the cautionary tale, the story of failure, that he suffered this catastrophic, you know, brain injury while training and never got to the Olympics, and sort of fell off the face of the earth to anyone who just follows that narrow prism of Olympic sport.
Right.
But you could argue, and I do in the book, that the resilience that he developed because of the way he was raised in Norwich enabled him to not only come back from an injury that would have derailed a lot of us forever, you could argue, and his parents and he are very they are very sure about this, that he is actually a better person for having gone through what he did. And now he has rechanneled his energies from competing into the world of brain injuries. He started a foundation, Love Your Brain, to provide advocacy for those who have suffered brain injuries, and also to provide a social safety net for these people who had maybe didn't even know anyone else who was going through what they are. And his mom told me, you know, I think he's impacting way more lives than he ever would have as an Olympic gold medalist. And I just love that notion. And you cannot stress it enough that the Olympic gold is not the only prize in sports. And sometimes it actually gets in the way and narrows our focus to the point where we don't realize the impact that we can have doing other things or using our all of the qualities that we gained in sports as a springboard to even greater contributions to our communities.
Right. You mentioned the stat, 2% of kids who play sports in high school go on to play in college. And I don't know what the stat is. I'm sure it's much less for those who go on to become an Olympic athlete, in, you know, from a town like Park City or Norwich or anywhere else in the country or world. And there is this, you know, there are so many opportunities to face failure and rejection when you are in sport. And I think that's why, like, your story about Kevin Pierce really hits home with me, because it seems that there's, you know, a gap or a void with how we help kids deal with this in communities like Norwich and Park City.
I agree. And it's funny, in the course of researching this book, I was talking to an Olympic multi-gold medalist swimmer, and I was telling her about Hannah Carney's experience in Norwich, where after she came back from her first Olympics, where she did not even make the final when she was considered the pre-games favorite to win the gold medal, she comes back to Norwich and is just distraught. She feels as if she has let everyone down. She has shamed her community with her performance. And what she found when she got back was all of these people, just in a very organic manner. It wasn't like they were going out of their way to make her feel better, but everybody that she ran into when she was running errands would say, "Oh, Hannah, it was so great to see you compete on that world stage. We're so proud of you. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing." And they lifted her up in this very organic manner so that she was able to get over that disappointment. So I was telling that story to this Olympic swimmer, and she said, "Wow, you need to tell her how lucky she is to live there." And then this swimmer told me the story of during a summer where she was really struggling, she ran into the father of a former competitor who said, "Oh, I just want you to know that we're praying for you, that you will be able to, you know, recover from the slump that you're in." And this swimmer said she remembers telling her father afterward, like, was I supposed to feel better about that? I mean, this person was trying to lift her up, but in a way that made her feel worse, because it was so result-oriented, like, "Oh, well, you know, you're not performing well, but, you know, we have hopes that you will get it back together." When in Norwich, they would never say that, because they're just embracing Hannah with, you know, her imperfections and failures and everything. Like, they understand that part of the process, and all of us fail far more often than we succeed. And they were just embracing her for putting herself out there on the world stage and doing her best.
That's a wonderful story. Tell us a little bit about Jim Holland.
Yes, you're one of your locals. So Jim, his brother, was an Olympian in 1984. Mike Holland and Jeff Hastings are really the two ski jumpers who got this current wave rolling. They all grew up together, all grew up ski jumping. Jeff got his brothers into it. Mike got his brothers into it. Jim is a story not unlike Kevin Pierce's, in that he had a number of injuries, including a really terrible injury, where a terrible spill where he broke a number of bones and was out for a while, but actually had his greatest success after this injury that might have been career ending for other people. He made two Olympic teams after that. And he said he retired and thought, like, "Okay, now what do I do?" And realized very quickly, through just being in a college course, an entrepreneurial course, and listening to the professor speak about the qualities that any entrepreneur possesses, and realized, "Oh my gosh, I possess these qualities as a world-class athlete. I have all of these same qualities." And it really flipped the switch for him. He realized that the very same qualities that helped him become an Olympic athlete, he could then use to launch his next act. And that's what he did. He started Backcountry.com, this fabulously successful company. And he says, "Wow, I just transferred everything that helped me as a ski jumper and was able to launch myself into this workaday world with, you know, what anybody would say is tremendous success."
Absolutely. And backcountry.com is one of the backbones of our community in terms of business.
Yeah.
So we're lucky to have him here. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but your book, Norwich, I think is a must read for parents, for coaches, you know, and even for kids who are propelling themselves through their goals with their sport. So what a wonderful book. Karen Kraus, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with a bunch of folks from EATS. They're going to talk about, well, eating awesome things at school and then some upcoming spring and summer camps and next month's fundraiser, A Fork in the Road.
Support for KPCW comes from the Natural History Museum of Utah, a nonprofit organization presenting Innovation in Design, a talk at Kingsbury Hall at 7 p.m. Monday, April 9th, by Neri Oxman. Oxman's work fuses the disciplines of art, science, architecture, and ecology to form a new kind of discipline, one based on the lessons of biomimicry. Kingsbury Hall is on the campus of the University of Utah. Information about Innovation in Design by Neri Oxman at nhmu.utah.edu.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, EATS, you know, it's that group about eating awesome things at school. It's very busy this spring with upcoming camps and the annual fundraiser called A Fork in the Road taking place in April. Joining us in the studio to talk about what they've got going on is Programs Director Devery Kars, along with Executive Director Janae Ridge and Courtney Kaplan, who is the board president. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk first about The Fork in the Road, which is always a great fundraiser. And it's usually in May. Now it's in April.
Yeah.
Okay. So Janae, give us the rundown.
Yeah. So we've got all sorts of stuff. Starting off with a raw seafood bar, which will be delicious, as well as local lamb and salmon and desserts and all. The food will be spectacular. Alpine Whiskey and Vita Tequila are providing specialty cocktails, and then we'll also have our a silent auction with plenty of items in that. And then one of the real exciting things is our opportunity drawing. Tickets are $50, and it's a luxury vacation home provided by Utopian.
And where is that?
It's in wine country, so Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's three nights with three nights for eight people with multiple wine tastings, lunch, in-home cooking classes, the works. It's a beautiful home.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. It's too bad exciting. Lynn won't be able to bid on that because of her new protocol.
Oh.
What's your new protocol like?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at you with a big question mark. We're not going to talk about my new protocol, but it has to do
might
with...
might want to bid and get
it has to do with
though.
Chocolate, yeah. Wine,
up to
and
eight
food.
People.
So, anyway, when and where is it?
It's April 21st at Legacy Lodge.
Okay, mm-hmm. Wonderful. It's always a really fun time. We've been going the last couple of years.
Yeah, the MCs are kind of weird, but...
This year we won't have a live auction, so the MCs aren't as much in play. The silent auction will be the bulk of everything, and then this opportunity drawing, which the tickets are $50 for the opportunity drawing, okay. And the tickets for the event are $125. Everything on our website, eatsparkcity.org.
Okay. And then upcoming spring and summer camps. I guess I didn't realize that you did camps. What do these camps look like?
It's new.
Debra.
Yeah, it's new to EATS, and it's really exciting. We kicked it off with a pilot camp this past fall, and it was in partnership with Park City Mountain Resort. And that was incredible because we had kids cooking in an industrial kitchen up at the resort. There was two kids per one chef. There were seven chefs, and they're hands-on. There were cut gloves, and they learned all about preparing a multi-course meal or multi-course multi-dish meal for their parents. And then everyone sat down together and ate it. And we'll be doing that one again next fall. So that's something we're looking forward to. But that kind of kicked off what we're doing for camps in general. So we have a spring break camp coming up, which is the 9th through the 13th, I think, is spring break for Park City School District. And it'll be a half-day camp in the morning, and it'll cover things like knife skills, taking apart a chicken, a whole chicken, into like breast, thighs, wings, things that you can cook straight from your garden to your table. So we kind of cover the gauntlet there for the spring break half-day. It's $135. You can, again, find that on our website. And we do have scholarship opportunities for kids that cannot afford that.
And again, you're partnering with?
This one's just us.
Oh, just you. So it'll be
that's
in
the first one. That's
school
spring
district
break. It'll
kitchen?
Be actually at the Christian or the community church right behind the Park City Nursery. So we asked them for their space. And then we're partnering this summer with Summit Community Gardens as well as
Swanner.
Yeah. For a two-day camp, the 1st and 2nd of July, all day with Swanner, and it's homegrown eats, and you can register on the Swanner website. And then the other ones, TBD, but will be on our website shortly.
Mm. So when the kids serve their parents meals, is it a little payback for all the Brussels sprouts and broccoli and spinach that the kids have been forced to eat? Are the parents eating grilled cheese and macaroni and cheese? It's like, oh, here's your grilled cheese dinner.
You know, we're expanding palates here, and I think what's amazing is the positive peer pressure that I see with the youth. And especially if a kid makes something and cooks it themselves, they are much more apt to eat it. And I think the parents are very much full of pride to try anything the kids make. So it's really visually amazing. Mm.
I remember when my kids were little, they'd have friends over and they'd want to make some food. It was their thing they did, but they never wanted to follow a recipe. They would just make up one, and they would always, no matter how bad it tasted, and it usually was horrible because they had no idea what to put into things, they would always
try
eat it.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny.
And then
so
they'd
you're
want
right.
you to try it, too, yeah. right? And you would, because right. they had done
and
it.
And I would, yes. Yeah. And what a great opportunity, though. So during the summer, are you going to have some more of these cooking class camps as well? Or is it just going to be like surrounding growing food?
No, it will be a partnership, because growing food ultimately is used for cooking, correct? Mm-hmm. So the Swanner Camp, for example, homegrown eats, there'll be a native side to it, because there are a lot of crops that are native to this area. And so we will find ways to incorporate those into dishes that kids would eat. So there's a cooking element with technical aspects, as well as a native plant element from the Swanner side. So both camps, the Swanner and the Summit Community Garden, yes, they are plant oriented, but plants are food, so they'll also be cooking oriented.
This is great. And Janae, just give us a quick overview of how many classrooms you're in, or Courtney, how many classrooms you're in, and you know, what are some of the things the kids are eating right now? And I love to hear about those snack programs that you have.
Well, I mean, I think we continue to partnership with the district on taste tests. So that's happening every month at all schools, which is really exciting. Hopefully some of your kids are coming home with an I tried it stamp and telling you what they tried at school. And ultimately the goal is to get those items onto the school menus. And that's happening. Maybe Janae, you can touch a little bit on what's happening right now for school meals.
Sure. Yeah. So in January, the CNS staff, the Child Nutrition Services, the lunch ladies, added on 5 new items to the menu that are very close to scratch cooking. So those are the homemade cornbread, the French toast bake, scalloped potatoes with a homemade sauce, a tomato soup that we did for the taste test in January, which was phenomenal. I tried it. It was very good.
Yeah, it was yummy.
And that was a recipe of one of the lunch ladies, who her background is in culinary service. And then the final one is a pesto turkey melt, which I've heard from several students that it's absolutely delicious. So those you can find on the district's website on their menu, and they are in bold.
Great.
Courtney, what's your perspective, having been with this organization from the beginning and looking at the buy-in and traction that Janae just illustrated for us with the items that are currently on the menu? Looking back from 4 years ago, could you have ever thought that at this point in time you would be? I know there was great hope.
Yeah.
But realistically, were you like, you know, this is an uphill battle, and here you are, you know? I mean, you're making tremendous progress.
We've made great progress, and I think we're really excited at the partnership that we're building and continue to build with the district. So we're excited for next semester, too, and that's something we'll be highlighting at Fork in the Road on April 21st, is what's going to happen next semester and what we continue to build upon. I would say I think we need and are asking for a strong wellness policy to put some bones in place from the school district, from the school board, and that, you know, the child nutrition services can then tack on to and see budget numbers around. So we'll continue to, you know, work on that advocacy side of things as well as the nutrition education programs. And this community has been amazing as far as support, and we ask for that continued support at the upcoming fundraiser on April 21st.
Devery, just give us the info again for the upcoming, very soon, spring break camp, and what parents need to do to sign their kids up.
Yeah, it's all on our website, so eatsparkcity.org. You can find everything there, but they need to go to our website, click on the link to register for the camp. It's $135. It's 4 days, 8:30 till noon, different sets of technical cooking skills plus garden knowledge. And that, again, is on our website. You can find it on our Facebook. You can also find it on our Instagram. So if you Google Eats Park City, you will find us.
Okay. Wonderful. Devery, Courtney, and Janae, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after these words with Shauna Wiest of Connect Summit County. She's going to be talking about some events taking place in Park City next week, some important mental health-related talks and other activities. Stay with us.
Basin Recreation is bringing back the popular Ski Boots to Swimsuits fitness program to help transition you to your favorite summer sports. The program runs Tuesdays and Thursdays from April 3rd through May 31st from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. at the Fieldhouse. Cost is $150 for 18 classes. To register and for more information, visit basinrecreation.org or call 655-0999. Basin Recreation, a nonprofit organization and proud KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Next week, on April 5th and April 7th, Connect Summit County brings to town first ESPN journalist and author Kate Fagan, and then on the 7th, renowned yoga practitioner Catherine Budig. Kate Fagan is the author of the book What Made Maddie Run? The Secret Struggles and Tragic Death of an All-American Teen. She'll speak on Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Blair Education and Conference Center at Park City Hospital. Then on Saturday, that's April 7th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 at Tadasana Yoga, Catherine Budig will weave in some of the themes brought forth by Fagan's book in a two-hour flow yoga class. Joining us in the studio to tell us more about it, and also, if we have time, the upcoming May Mental Health Awareness Month, we have Shauna Wiest, Director of Connect Summit County. Good morning to you, Shauna.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Shauna.
So, Kate Fagan, I was reading over on your events page, and wow, this is an incredible thing that she has done, and an incredible and tragic story.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about it.
I will. And I want to apologize in advance to your listeners. I have a cold. Well, we discovered Kate Fagan last year when this book came out, What Made Maddie Run? The Secret Struggles and Tragic Death of an All-American Teen was published last August, and we became very interested in the story because we felt it was quite emblematic of the experience of many of our teens here in Park City, particularly our athletes. Many of them we know go on to the Olympics or other higher levels. And when we began reading more and more into the story, we felt we had to bring her here. And just to let you know how that book actually evolved, Kate Fagan is an ESPN journalist. If you watch ESPN, she's on Around the Horn. Very articulate, a very good writer. She was actually sent by ESPN to do a story about this particular young girl and the tragedy that happened. And once they started digging into the details and after the story had been published, ESPN said, we've really got to write a book about this because there are so many details that we would like to share with young people so that they can be aware of these particular items and with parents so that we can stop this before it happens.
Right. So it's being in an environment much like Park City where there's so much focus on achievement and there's a lot of pressure. And I don't know if you heard our earlier interview. This was an article by a sports writer, Karen Krauss, for the New York Times, Norwich. And she was talking about that as well, this pressure from parents, from coaches to perform, and not only to perform well in your sport, but to perform well in school so the two of those can marry to get you into a good college.
Absolutely. Well, the book tells the story of Madison Halloran. And something that you need to know about Madison Halloran is not only was she a nationally ranked track and soccer star, she also had a 4.6 GPA. She was incredibly popular. She was beautiful. She wanted to go to an Ivy League school. But what about her, something about her also, which is, again, emblematic of our young people here in Park City, is she was very interested in social media, and she used it on a daily basis. She used Instagram, she used Snapchat, and the pageantry, particularly of Instagram, where it's photos, they're filtered, you look great, there's nothing that doesn't look good. And that's how she portrayed her life. But on the inside, she was struggling so much. But to admit she was struggling would be to admit weakness. So she never did.
So no one ever knew. And her parents, coaches?
Her parents started to know, particularly when she graduated from high school, and she had received several offers to very good colleges, which she declined because she wanted to hold out for an Ivy League. And she was ultimately accepted into the track program at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, when she arrived there, she discovered she was no longer the smartest person. She was no longer the most beautiful. She was no longer the fastest runner. And that was very distressing for her, that transition, because she had always been the very best at all of those things. And she did start to talk to her parents. She did start to talk to her coaches. But they kept, like, not, I wouldn't say pushing her, more encouraging her to just stay with it, stay with it, when all she wanted to do was just leave.
Mm. Boy, you know, Shauna, Connect and your mission and the idea of illustrating the cautionary tale for the kids, and then, you know, looking at our community here and having a lot of parallel issues, mm-hmm. both with Norwich and with the story about Maddie. And I've always thought, well, I don't know that I've always thought, but I've kind of come to learn that the kids are really the canaries in the coal mine. They're the warning signal mm-hmm. that there's something deeper going on. And that's what the story of Norwich brought home. And also the example of Norway, where you have this entire country and a community that has a different kind of focus. And the kids, therefore, aren't coming up with the same sort of stressors and the same sort of anxiety and the same sort of tendency toward suicide. So what's your take on that and kind of the focus of Connect, and especially with Mental Awareness Month coming up in the month of May?
Well, I loved your metaphor, the canary in the coal mine, because I think that is completely accurate. The driving force for bringing Kate Fagan to Park City is the backdrop of Utah. Utah has the highest rate of suicide for adolescents in the United States. And in fact, the CDC found that there has been a 136% increase in Utah suicides over the last 4 years. We do know from the Summit County Health Department that 25% of Summit County students live with a mental health issue every day and have considered suicide. We also know because of programming that Connect, cross-community programming that Connect put on last month, that social media really is a trigger for unhappiness, depression. If you're bullied on social media, 66% of those people have a suicide risk factor. So there's all these factors that are kind of bubbling up, which But we feel like the most important is this happens in Utah a lot. Connect receives a lot of phone calls from parents whose children have either taken their lives or have attempted.
Wow. Tie in the visit from Kate Fagan with the visit of Catherine Budig. She is our yoga practitioner who will be here. So Kate's on Thursday night from 6 to 9 at the Blair Education Center at the Park City Hospital. And then Catherine will be at Tadasana Saturday morning.
Yes. Well, we wanted to bring the two of them. They are a couple, and they do travel together. They have a podcast on ESPN together called Free Cookies, and if you ever have an opportunity to listen to it, it's delightful. They weave in the themes of mental wellness, body image, sports, and it's just so delightful. And when we approached Catherine Budig, who is an internationally acclaimed and loved yoga instructor, she used to be the editor of Yoga Journal. She said, well, definitely, I would love to come to Tadasana and teach a two-hour vinyasa flow based on the themes to reinforce the concepts of what made Maddie run. Body image, social media, all of those things. So she will be at Tadasana from 10:30 to 12:30 on Saturday, April 7th. The cost is $70 now. It's gone up for registration, but it's well worth it. She generally charges over $100 for this type of flow. But we're really looking forward to, and I'm sure Kate Fagan will be in the room also practicing, but we're so delighted to have these two top-notch people here in Park City. One thing I wanted to say about the hospital event to encourage attendance is that Park City Hospital was so generous. They underwrote 100 books to give away for free. So for the first 100 attendees, you get a book. And she'll sign it. Kate Fagan will sign it. And again, we just think it's really important because I know when I go listen to a speaker, I really need something tangible at the end to reinforce what I've just learned. And that's what we're hoping to do with the book.
I'm sure the book is riveting. The talk, however, is free?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a free talk on Thursday night. And I don't think you two probably don't know, but she's also going to be speaking at an assembly, an all-school schedule assembly at Park City High School, which is phenomenal. And she'll have an hour with the students at the Eccles Center in a morning assembly on Wednesday, April 4th. And there's going to be a lot of time for Q&A. And the Park City Education Foundation purchased books for the students. So again, they'll hear the story and they can come back and read it.
This is really fantastic. Shauna Wiest, Connect Summit County. We have about 30 seconds to just give a quick heads up for the May Mental Health Awareness Month and what you'll be doing.
Don't miss Admiral Winfield, the former vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He worked under Obama. He commanded the U.S. military. He just lost his son in October 2017 to opiate addiction. We're bringing him out for a talk at the Park City Hospital. It's going to be riveting because he started a foundation to stop this epidemic, and you won't want to miss him. So that's the caliber of speakers we are bringing for May Mental Health Awareness Month.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back after these words.
Being a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business and provides a wide array of benefits. We promote your business, provide networking and educational opportunities, and even have benefit programs for you and your employees. For more information, visit us online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
It's KPCW Park City. Thanks for tuning in. We want to thank our underwriters,
Valley Behavioral Health, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, Fairway Independent Mortgage, Park City Mountain Resort, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, and San Francisco Design.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life, and we'll be back after these words.
Here's what you missed if you haven't been listening to KPCW in March. Residential glass recycling pickup could be coming to the Park City area. That was a topic on This Green Earth. Finding the Hidden Path to Happiness, the subject of a new book, was an author feature on The Mountain Life. Plus, the Park City Follies creative team was on Saturday's Classified Show talking about this year's performance. At KPCW, you're always hearing something new, so tune in. And if you missed your favorite public affairs show, remember, you can hear them anytime on our website, kpcw.org.
Catch up on all the local news from Week in Review on KPCW every Sunday morning starting at 8 a.m. with Rick Bruff, supported by Coldwell Banker and Team Schlope, TSREParkCity.com. KPCW, now more than ever, we've got your Wasatch back.
You've been listening to KPCW Park City. We want to thank all of our guests today on The Mountain Life, Karen Kraus. Her book is Norwich. Also, everyone from Eats, Eat Awesome Things at School, and also Shauna Wiest from Connect Summit County, and you won't want to miss those events taking place next week. You can find out more about it at Connectsummitcounty.org. Time now.